Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see everybody here. We've got a few on this side. We've got, so there we go. Welcome, everyone. Who's happy to be here today? Who missed coming last week? Yeah. It was quite a special time here, actually, in the building. Fiona, myself, a couple of others, just had a nice feel about it. So, but we're very conscious that there's only a few of us here last week. So a warm welcome to everyone, whether you are here or joining us online. So here we are, start of another year, 2022. One of the things we often do at this time of year is we review our relationship with God. How has the love of God deepened in our lives? How have we positively impacted those around us? As Marge encouraged us a couple of weeks ago, and I still remember what she said, what opportunities may God be leading us to this year? Have we grown in our faith? Has it been tested, and in the process, has God, our trust in God and his son Jesus, grown? Often through this Christian journey, we can be filled with uncertainty. I know for me, I need a framework I can follow. This morning, we'll consider just a tool. There are many frameworks, but this is just one of them today for us to consider. A tool to deepen our relationship with God and acknowledge our days before him. Giving God room to move in the various things we are involved in. It is a framework for prayer, a framework for giving our days actively to God, a framework for mission, and a framework for walking closer with our Heavenly Father. This message this morning will be broken up into segments and then brought together in prayer at the end. The invitation is for you to resonate, react, contemplate, consider, in light of your personal journey, and to test for yourself against Scripture. Any spiritual journey begins with God. So let us together consider how amazing he is. He is the creator of the world, for our God is an amazing God. Let's stand and sing.
Seeing you haven't seen each other for a while, would you please find a creative way to exchange a greeting of peace with each other? Peace be with you. Ted, peace be with you. Helen, peace be with you. Peace be with you, everyone. I think I said a few weeks back when there were people here, it's the quietest greeting of peace I've ever heard. just a couple of notices. Firstly, if you take a peek into the creche behind the sound desk there and into the Sunday school room and the floor passageway through, it's got the new flooring on it. It looks really schmick. But more importantly, much more importantly, I would just like to bring your attention to the fact that Laurie and Bev Washaw celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary a few days ago. God bless you. What a wonderful thing. Afterwards, if you get a moment, you can have a chat with Laurie and Bev and find out what their secret's been. Thank you. Jackie is going to bring our reading to us, I believe.
Good morning, everybody. This morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. The whole armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication, and to that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jackie. Did we pick up what the passage was about? Anyone have any thoughts? What was the passage about just then? Just call it out. The armour. The framework we're talking about this morning is the armour of God. It's a framework for us in ministry and a mission. The idea of armour would have been obvious to the Ephesians church. The Romans used armour. The temple guards used armour. Where there was ever a battle, there was armour. It was an image they would have all been very familiar with. There is a defensive quality about armour. It is an extra layer of defence that will hopefully deflect some of the arrows and sword thrusts that which would ultimately come in battle. You would be able to go into the battle knowing there was some level of protection. The chances of coming back alive increased. But is that all? Just go into the battleground, just stand there and hope the armour will protect you? There is so much more to armour, and it is this aspect I want to focus on in this framework this morning. We get some hints to the power of the armour in verses 10 to 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice the passage does not to say to sit, to cower, but to stand. Stand in the confidence the most powerful presence in the universe, God the Creator, is on our side. Armour does have a protective quality, but the real power is in the courage it provides. And as we will see, this courage is available to us today. We do need courage and strength only God can provide for the battle, as it says in verse 12. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This would have been very encouraging for a church in Ephesus surrounded by the myriad of gods of the Roman Empire. I think we underestimate sometimes how difficult it was for churches and towns, because Ephesus was the jewel of the Mediterranean. It was one of the centres of Roman worship. It was a site for the temple of the goddess Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, where sexual immorality and debauchery were part of the religion, an intrinsic part of Ephesian culture. Ephesus was also the centre of worship for the Roman emperor, who was up there. The superior God and being the site of one of the temples to him. This meant every facet of Ephesian society needed to pay homage to Caesar, whether Nero, Domitian, or Titus. Domitian was particularly nasty. To not do so meant exclusion from society, marketplaces. You'd have to put a coin in before you entered. If you didn't put the coin in, no entrance to the marketplace, families and friends. To follow Christ cost everything. The church needed courage. Standing. Not in our own strength, but in the power and with the presence of God. In verse 13, God invites us, therefore take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having everything, stand firm. But we don't do this on our own. But God promises in Ephesians, Philippians, is that word, 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's begin to put the armour on together. Not just for our own personal benefit, but also being mindful of the command of Jesus in Matthew 28 to bring the good news of his gospel to the world. To be his hands, his feet, bringing compassion, understanding, hope and love to all we meet. As we consider the elements of the armour, I'm just going to change the order just a little because I find for me it is easiest to start from the ground and work our way up. So when we are praying, we have this image on our head, starting with the shoes and ending up with the sword. At the end, we will share in a prayer together to put on the armour. Let's start with the shoes of peace in verses 15. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Shoes are wonderful at protecting our feet over rocky ground, cold ground, wet ground. With such protection, we are able to walk confidently. But they are shoes of peace. This is where the missional aspect of the shoes comes in. We are called to be peacemakers. In Matthew 5:9, as part of the Beatitudes, Jesus proclaims, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." What a beautiful thing to be able to hear. They will be called children of God. In this world of disharmony, any peacemakers in the many small moments of life can become real agents of change. It is a change the world is desperately crying out for. A peace which is not just an absence of war, but a yearning for a shared humanity as opposed to a me humanity. Are we trying to be agents of those of peace to those that we meet? Here's our peace.
Down every wall, he is. He cares for you.
Who's heard that one before, that song? A couple people? Hack and Westies would have heard it, I reckon. It goes back a long way, that song, but it just came to mind today. It's just a perfect song to talk about this aspect of peace. Okay, let's move on to the belt of truth. We've done the shoes, we're up to the belt of truth, found in verse 14. Another way of considering truth is the belt of wisdom. It is the thing that will help us to make wise decisions. Out of all the things Solomon could have asked for in 1 Kings 3, he chose wisdom, and God was pleased with him. God then went on to bless Solomon with so much wealth, it was world-renowned. Even Cleopatra was stunned by how much wealth he had. And wisdom that became such as the world had ever seen. But as we found out with Solomon, the wisdom didn't last. He embarked on massive building programs, taxed his country to basically brokenness. He took his eyes off God and his kingdom suffered terribly, in ending in division of the north and south kingdoms, idolatry and division. Therefore, we need to constantly ask for wisdom. There's some good news in Scripture here. In James 1:5, we find that God will happily provide his wisdom. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. Who wants that? Hands up. It's always a kicker though. But as James goes on to say in verse 6, but ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. The NIV explains it another way, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. How do we know when we don't doubt? Well, I don't have an answer for that one. I think we just deep down know when we got a sense of assurance, I think a sense of peace about something. The best way to ask is to ask God to test you. We ever ask God to test us? It'd be eye-opening. I believe not doubting is something that we grow into as God shapes our character. But wise people are great to be around. They provide insight that is just right for any given moment. This insight is often measured and will provide a solid base from which wonderful initiatives can take flight in a sustainable way. How do we decide between things? How do we respond to the demands placed upon us? How do we decide the way to go? Through the wisdom, God's wisdom, the promise is he will provide us each and every day wisdom when we ask for it. May we be agents of God's wisdom in this world. When I thought of a hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. So let's stand and sing.
Clouds which are fountains of
Thank you, Father God, that you provide us wisdom every day we choose to ask. Precious gift from you. Thank you for the other things in our world that you give us every day. Always remind us of the things that you give us. Thank you for the financial resources that you provide for us as well. And thank that we can just give back a small part of that to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's take a seat. So, shoes, belt, breastplate. Verse 14, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. There are two attributes here. Firstly, as we grow into the likeness of Christ, which is a lifelong journey, we learn the way God designed us to live, quietly demonstrating the fruits of love, joy, peace, as found in Galatians 5:22-23. The result being, we will in the same way let your light shine before others so that we may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven, as commanded by Jesus in Matthew 5:16. But James goes on to say, oh hang on, next page. The second attribute has to do with integrity. Paul pleads in Philippians 4:8, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Mary fixed her heart on those things. And we heard that from Fiona last week. Think, ponder about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. The world still expects Christians to have honesty about them. And the world is just waiting for us to slip up. We are being watched constantly. Whether in person, comments we make online, we're being watched constantly. And we will be told if our actions and behaviour do not meet their expectations. So we go into the world with a mindset of integrity. It helps. We will be tested often when we don't realise. The scrutiny is too much to bear on our own. And so we need the breastplate of righteousness to give us courage to live the way that God would want us to, with integrity as we let our lights shine. For you are God, you give everything good thing. We put our hearts, our hope and our faith in you. Let's sing God 3-in-1. Feel free to stand, sit, whatever you'd like to do. Times of weakness. For you are God, you give every good thing. Every. So where have we been so far? Choose the peace. Being peacemakers to our small parts of the world. And there are millions of small parts of the world in our world. The belt of truth enables God to bring his wisdom and insight into situations we'll find ourselves in. And those situations will come without warning. The breastplate of righteousness is about maintaining integrity while we let our light shine. We now move to verse 16, the shield of faith. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows. Flaming arrows. I don't think I could face a flaming arrow. That would be a bit scary. Of the evil one. And as we find in Psalm 33, God is our shield. We wait in hope for the Lord. Hope. Where does hope come from? God. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. This is an amazing promise. As we learn to rely and trust in God, the more we become aware of his protection. We can be sure that God is protecting us. But what is the missional aspect of the shield? A way to consider the shield is where it is placed. Above the heart. It's where the heart is, together with the mind, God imparts his courage. It is the heart where compassion, empathy, and most importantly, presence. To be truly present with someone is listening not just with our ears, but with our whole being. Picking up the nuances of why what the person is saying is important to them. To not only be heard, but understood is one of the most empowering qualities that being present can bring to a person. As outlined in 1 Corinthians 13, our hearts have an amazing ability to love and to be present with others.
Good morning. This is the time we pray for others. At some stage, I'll have a brief pause during the prayer, of which you can add your own intercession at that stage. This is a time, let us pray. This is a time when we not only think about others, but we pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the rain to freshen our gardens and the land. Let us pray for the families of the firefighter killed in the southeast, and for the family of the firefighter who was badly injured. We pray for their healing. Let us pray for those affected by earthquake, tsunami, and other things throughout the world. Grant the peace and restoration. Father, there is so much uncertainty created by this pandemic. We pray for doctors, nurses, chemists, frontline workers, scientists trying to find a solution. Give them wisdom and strength. Let us pray for the leaders of this country, especially our Prime Minister, and the leaders of the opposition, and also the Premier of this state. Lord, give them wisdom to carry out the daily duty and to look forward. Let us pray for peace and for understanding, worldwide especially in Russia, the Ukraine, and the Middle East. Let us pray for the leaders of this church, the Vines, our minister David Pryor and his family, the worship leader David McAvenna, the administrator Colleen Farmer, the pastoral care worker leader Judy Beams, and the wider church and synod. Let us pray for those folk who are bereaved, who are sick, and especially Amber and her family at this time, who is continuing her treatment. Lord, give them strength and perseverance. We pray for those who are unemployed, depressed, or otherwise ill at ease. Give them strength and peace. Let us pray for those who are caught up in the COVID issue, especially those who cannot see their family and loved ones because of closed borders. We pray for the opening of those borders. Let us pray that we may show Christ's light to the community and so that we can give them peace. Let us pray for the safety of our children and the teachers as they go back to school, especially the school chaplains as they head back to school after the holidays. Father, we ask your blessing on all these things, and we pray that these things happen in the loving name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Leon, for mentioning the Middle East. Syria's been going for 10 years. Yemen is the worst humanitarian crisis currently on the planet. It's going for at least 5. Somalia, Lake Tigray region in Ethiopia is disastrous at the moment. Don't know what this world is coming to at the moment. Makes me a little sad to see how we've come as a humanity. So if you want to be more informed about the world and what's going on, because we only hear so much a little bit here, subscribe to United Nations stuff, particularly their humanitarian arm and the stuff that they're doing. Voice of the Martyrs is another one. You get weekly emails about some of the things happening there. Okay, we move on to verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Where does our salvation come from? It comes from the one who healed the sick, proclaimed freedom to the captives and helped the blind to see. It is the one who empowered the disciples to stand through the power of the Holy Spirit on their own when he left. He is the one who chose to remain in the garden despite knowing the end was near, with the pain and separation to come. The one who was silent in his trial. The one who proclaimed peace to the robber alongside him on the cross. The one and only Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Most High, who left his rightful place in heaven to be crucified as a ransom for you and me. Came to earth as a baby. What an incredible plan that is. Jesus Christ, who miraculously resurrected on the third day and is alive today. The helmet of salvation means that you are right now a child of God. And if you have acknowledged him as Lord and Saviour, have a guaranteed place in eternal life in heaven. For any that might be watching online or are here today who have not made that decision, the question really is quite a simple one. Why not? Why wouldn't you want a guaranteed place in heaven and the benefits of being a Christian now? This is a moment of both praise and humbleness. We have such a loving God who, through his grace, has invited us to be with him for eternity. The helmet of salvation means that we are praying each and every day for significant conversations, expecting them, anticipating them, for the courage to be able to stand for what we believe, but in love. We don't want to be a clanging gong, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. We don't want to be that. We need to get to know people, what makes them tick, and converse with them. It won't be the words we will say, it'll be the vibe that they feel when they talk to us. The helmet of salvation means we desire in a very humble and natural way to bring as many people with us when we leave this world, to also enjoy the inheritance waiting for us. And this leaves us with the sword of the Spirit in verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In Hebrews 4:12 we read, "Indeed the word of God is living and active." Do we imagine the Bibles that we read being active? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow, and intentions of the heart. Wow, we're going really into deep places there. In John 1, we read, "The Word is alive. It was there at creation, and it was there at the beginning. It was with God and is God." We have God's words in most of our land dreams. Because God is powerful, His word too is powerful, a weapon. One of the best examples of the word as a weapon was with the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew 4, when He responded to the taunts of Satan by quoting the book of Deuteronomy. When being taunted to turn stones to bread, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. When being taunted to jump off the temple roof, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't you dare." And when being taunted to bow down to Satan, Jesus was saying to Satan himself, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." When praying through the armour of God, the sword of the Spirit section also provides us with an additional opportunity to reflect on the passages we have been reading in our Bibles. Being open for God to prompt us with passages of Scripture can provide us with the assurance we need to get through a complex situation. And that will come. Instead of the Bible just being something that we read, it can become a critical instruction book for life. It is indeed a sword of cutting through the confusion, the darkness, as we enter into the very light of Christ. The armour of God. Peacemakers through the shoes of peace. Wisdom through the belt of truth. Integrity and letting our light shine through the breastplate of righteousness. Compassion and presence through the shield of faith. The saving grace of Jesus through the helmet of salvation. And the guiding word of God through the sword of the Spirit. As we have the resource of the whole armour of God, we have the strength and courage of God within us to be able to stand and face whatever lay ahead. As I indicated at the beginning of the service, there was going to be an opportunity for us to bring this all together in prayer and to put on the whole armour of God. This isn't a once-off thing, by the way. This is every time you feel you're going to a situation or you feel like the day's going to be whatever, you put it on. So if you are able, I'd invite you to stand and to share in this prayer. Father God, first of all, we thank you for your love for us. Unchanging, unending, always there. Always reliable, always constant, always present. Enabling, empowering through your Spirit. Father, we thank you for this incredible promise that you've given us in Ephesians chapter 6 to be able to put on, in essence, you as we face whatever situations we come up against when we come up against them. Courage to be able to stand we first of all choose to put on the shoes of peace. May we be peacemakers in this world, in our small parts of the world. May the words that immediately come to our mind be replaced with words of peace. Belt of wisdom, belt of truth. Father God, in those moments when we're deciding between things, when we're deciding what way we should go, we thank you that you are the source of wisdom, and we thank you that we have access to that as promised in James chapter 1. So we put on the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, Lord, may you always remind us that we are being watched by the world. We're being challenged by the world to keep, almost waiting for us to slip up. Lord, may we walk into every room, every situation, everything that comes upon us with integrity. Remind us what that means, that words and actions match up. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And Lord, in a world where people are struggling and we're crying out for connection and just someone to resonate with, we pray that when we look forward in anticipation to the conversations that will come, wherever they might be, whether it's the girl at the checkout, someone in the bus stop, wherever it might be, may we be empathetic, present and compassionate. So they will think as they're lying in the bed at night, gee, that was such a nice conversation with that person. And think about you in the process. Helmet of salvation, we thank you for Jesus. It's always about him. Thank you for his love for us that kept him on the cross. And thank you for one of the most incredible act of history of him coming back to life after 3 days. Thank you that we have a solid basis from which our faith comes. And thank you for the gift of it as well. Please rise it up within us for courage, I pray. And the sword of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for its endurance over 2,000 years. It's coming into being through inspiration of man with your inspiration. Thank you for the way that you have guided every word on every page and for how you have made the whole thing just flow into one. Because the Bible is your story and your heart for humanity. And we also thank you for the tools that you give us as we carry on out in our world. Whatever our gifts are, we thank you that you give them to us to use. So now, Father God, we choose to put on the armour of God. And thank you, Father, that the passage in Ephesians says that you'll give it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
One of the stories in the Gospels recorded by Luke, story of a most courageous woman who came to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and anointed him with perfume. And one of the outstanding things for me about that story is in that courageous moment where she came to Jesus, she didn't speak a word. I wonder if, while I sing this song, you can imagine yourself as that woman.
When she came into the room, all the heads turned her way. They knew who she was. They hoped she would go away. Her reputation was known through the town. A woman of sin, of unholy renown. She came and stood before him. pain of many years poured out upon his feet as she washed them with her tears. With her hair she dried his feet in the silence of that room, then anointed them again from her jar of sweet perfume. Jesus said, two men owed some money, one a great deal more. Neither could repay their debt, they were forgiven all. Tell me, Simon, who do you think would love the lender more? Simon said, I suppose the one who was forgiven more. Jesus said to Simon, hey, I came to your house today. You gave no water for my feet to wash the dust away. And yet this woman you see here has done your job for you. She's washed and dried and kissed my feet and on them poured perfume. Listen to me, Simon. Hear my words today. She has shown me much love. Her many sins are washed away. And the guests began to question, who does he think he is? He forgives her many sins. Does he not know who she is? Jesus turned to speak to her. His eyes looked deep within. In the silence of that room, he said, your sins are forgiven. No one dared to speak, but an air of sweet relief came with Jesus' final words. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
God turns everything, any situation, into just the best situation. No hesitation of that woman. She walked into the viper's nest and she blessed the Messiah. We are a forgiven people. And as we have discovered, empowered by him, not just for ourselves, but also for the ministry God has called us together. Let's not forget we're not doing this on our own. We're together to be part of. Let's stand as a declaration and sing all about that hope with Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let's stand.
Truth you now bring us.
Shine, Jesus, shine for this land, this world, this hemisphere, this city, this suburb, our surrounding streets with your glory. We have a part to play in that. God chooses to use us for that purpose. I just probably need to say that if anyone needs prayer after the service, feel free just to come down the front, put up your hand or whatever you want to do. But I'm thinking it's important, I think, if anyone wants prayer after the service, to actually take that up. And just again, give the invitation for any people either here or online that don't know Jesus, please reach out, because it's the best decision you'll ever make. Now let us go, knowing God is not only with us, but also goes with us. In the love of God, the grace of Jesus, his only Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Go in peace.